Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Again, Luke 1, starting at verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Verses 26 through 56, Luke chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful, the powerful, and the glorious story of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate and think on the powerful stories that make up what we call the Christmas story. And thank you for the great grace, the wisdom, the insight you have to teach us about trusting you, following you, and about the fact that simply you call us just to do your will, whatever that is. For us to not necessarily to try to figure it all out, but to know that we can trust you and follow you and place ourselves in your hands. Thank you for the wonder of the story of Christmas and the blessings that are ours as we become hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We want to continue to encourage you to please take time during the Christmas season, as we call it, to read through all the Christmas stories, the Christmas narratives, as you may call them. The stories found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And the reason that's important is because the stories are so powerful. They have so much in them to teach us. And if you don't take time, you're going to miss out on a lot of what God wants to teach you about himself, about his word, his will, the way he operates, the way he does things, and the fact that we can trust him even when things look odd, strange, difficult, inconvenient, but we know that God can be trusted. So take the time with your family to read through the Christmas stories. Please, parents, take time with your children and let them do the reading. because they're going to ask questions. But remember, kids always have good questions, wonderful questions that'll bless you. But you're going to learn things about Christmas from your children's questions as well. The stories are powerful. They're encouraging. They're uplifting. Take time to read through them with your family. Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Your Christmas will be the richer for it. Hope you'll take time to do that. We're blessed to have with us back in studio. It's been a little while, but we're grateful to have Pastor David Ball, the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi now. Awesome. Pastor David, good to have you with us today.
It's great to be here. I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And tell our listeners where, as we start, where the Anchor Church, what is the address of the Anchor Church today?
We're right on College Street and 6th Street, in the corner of College Street and 6th Street in Verona. We recently made a move back in March where we purchased the old First Baptist Church property there in Verona. Mm-hmm. And the congregation there at First Baptist had had dwindled down, and we're looking to continue ministering, but we're struggling in that. And so we made a contact and just said, hey, we'd love to take that property, and it's a huge property, and we wanted to use it as a residential area and ministering to people in several of our residential ministries that we have. And so when we contacted them, they said, well, Pastor David, would you do an early service for us? We have a contemporary-style worship service traditionally at the Anchor. And they said, well, could you start a traditional service early in the morning? Mm-hmm. So we're one of the rare churches that actually started with a contemporary style of worship and then started doing an early morning traditional service later. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a wonderful time. Several of the members have stayed on and become a part of our ministries of the Anchor Church and Grace and Mercy Ministries, and it's been beneficial for both of us, and God is blessing and honoring the work that's being done there.
That's good. That's good. Well, Auntie, in just a moment, I want to ask you to just to kind of further introduce yourself as well as the Anchor Church. But before we do, if you would take time to pray for God to help our listeners to really have ears to hear all that the Holy Spirit wants them to hear and learn as we share today.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just boldly come into the throne room with thankful hearts that you have given us access through your death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And God, I thank you for that first and foremost. But God, also I pray that you would open our ears to hear from you as we begin to move in the direction that you've called us to go. And this time, God, I pray that your people would be awakened to your heart for ministry, your heart for the hurting. And we will see as you see, we will hear as you hear, and we will act as you act and call us to act. So God, we give this time to you, and you take it and use it to advance your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' precious holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as we start, Pastor David, you know, something that I think is a very helpful truth for every believer to know and understand is that, you know, sometimes we have kind of stereotyped perspectives or ideas about what is ministry and what's not ministry. And I'm not going to say that I can obviously fully describe what it all is. But one very simple definition is ministry is hearing what God says to do and doing it.
Absolutely.
In an instance, over a period of time, over a lifetime, it's listening to God and doing what he says. And so ministry can take so many different forms.
Absolutely.
But an important key is we have to have ears to hear and simply do what the Word of God and the Spirit of God tells us to do. So as we start, I wanted to ask if you'll just take time to further introduce yourself and your church family. And just kind of, I want you to take it and run with it the direction the Lord leads you about sharing about the work you're doing.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, and myself, I coached in public school and taught for 20 years. And that really began to open the door into ministry because I'm a PK. I'm a preacher's kid. You know, the whole story. In mm-hmm. church 9 months before I was ever born, that mm-hmm. type of deal. Was in church my whole life. And as I watch and experience church, I began to look around. The good thing is I was raised around godly people my whole life and experienced so much depth in God's Word and the teaching of God's Word, being in RAs, being in the Bible drills. The Word of God was just imparted into my life. Of course, it didn't take root because what you are speaking of, hearing the voice of God, obeying the voice of God, is the basics of a spiritual walk with God. It's the person, right? Mm-hmm. So that makes it a relationship. And a lot of times we don't make it a relationship, we make it a way of life. We just attend church. I think that's the problem today, because relevance in our culture today has been lost somewhat by the church, because we're not teaching a relationship with Christ as much as we should. Therefore, I don't see where church fits into my life for a lot of our kids, because they grow up as a thing to do. Church is a thing to do, but it's not a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And if it never becomes a personal, intimate relationship with Christ, it's just a thing to do. And so that thing to do gets lost in all our other things to do. You know, it gets bumped way down our list. And so that's what happened in my life. Being in athletics, being in, you know, playing sports, it became less important in my life. And I also saw a lot of the hypocrisy, because the great things about being around godly people in the church, but you also... You have to attend business meetings, and you have to attend those votes and those arguments and all those things. And so the enemy used that to kind of cause me to become embittered towards the church. And I, you know, just ask the simple question, there's got to be more, you know, to this than just church. Mm-hmm. It caused me to go on and to experience the prodigal years of my life, is the way I referenced that. I wrote a book entitled Pray Mama Pray, and that's a testimony of my mom and dad's prayer life as I rebelled against God's ways and never really made a relationship out of my knowledge of the Word of God and the person of Christ. And then later on in my life, I came to Jesus in that personal, intimate relationship. And then from there, I began to coach and teach, and just had an incredible time in the Lord there. And I believe one of the things that I want people to hear, there might be some people in listening to us right now, maybe who themselves might be just flipping through the dial and came across this, and they might be living out the prodigal years where they had all the information about the Lord, but they never entered into a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. And maybe some parents that are out there, or grandparents that are out there, to have a child or a grandchild that are rebelling against God's will for their life. And for me, that's the beginning of what is a beautiful walk with God. And it all started with my mom's prayer life. It all started with the fact that they did not ever relent nor let go. Last week, and I'm referencing a scripture that I can't get the. You might remember the reference of the passage, but last week I was studying in scripture, and it says, "For it is impossible." And when the Lord of impossible says it's impossible, you need to pay close attention to what He's saying is impossible. Mm-hmm. He says it's impossible for offense not to come. You know, that there's going to be events that happen in life that we'll be offended by if we're not careful, because the offense is an action, but becoming offended is a response to that action and our responsibility. So even though the offense is going to come, our response to that being offended is our choice, and if we choose to become offended, it will affect us at that point, and it will affect us the rest of our life until we let go. So I just want to, if it's okay with you, Pastor Joseph, if we just pause right now and pray for those people that are experiencing prodigal sons and daughters that are walking away from God's will for their life, or maybe they themselves are just thumbing through and came across this this time and hearing that and realizing, man, I've been away from God and I know where peace is found, but right now my life is in turmoil. Right now there's so much pain. Can we just pray for those people right now?
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're about almost right on a break, but immediately on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll do just that. Okay. Pray for the parents and the prodigals as well, and pray for them to not to give up on them. And so we'll do that. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball. He's the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. We'll be right back. music of Forever Jones, the song Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball. He is the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi, that ministers in the Tupelo and Lee County area and beyond as well. Pastor David, you are going to pray for the specific matter of which you were speaking of before, if you'll go right ahead.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. On behalf of those that are listening to us, maybe they themselves are going through the prodigal years. God, it might be a parent or a grandparent that just holding on with the promises that if you train up a child the way they're to go, when they get old, they will not depart from it. God, right now we ask you to intervene in their lives. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to draw them back to yourself, reveal their ways. God, those that are in their life right now that are pulling them away from you, in the name of Jesus, separate them from them. Bring truth to lay on top of the lies so that they can experience the life that we have in you, that you've promised us a life more abundant. And God, may they walk in that peace that passes all understanding, that supersedes everything that we experience here on earth. We love you and we thank you for what you're going to do in each of these individual lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave. So if you'll go ahead and tell our listeners, if someone who is listening wants to get in touch with you and learn more about some of the ministries that are part of the Anchor Church, how would they get in touch with you and learn more about what you do?
Our phone number is area code 662-732-5056. That's 662-732-5056. And also, we have a website that's a part of Grace and Mercy Ministries, and that is thetransformationranch.net. That's for guys that are struggling with alcohol and drug addiction. For the girls that are struggling with alcohol and drug addiction, that's transformationwomen.net. We're actually entitled Transformation Home, but that was used. So we use Transformation Women for our women's ministry that are struggling with alcohol and drug addiction. And our newest ministry is thetransformationgarden.net. And that has derived itself from the Transformation Women or the Transformation Home for Women. We started experiencing a whole lot of information that we were coming across in the Tupelo Lee County area, working with Sheriff Johnson and other law enforcement here in the area. We were coming across a whole lot of issues that were dealing with sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm. And in other words, it's a big problem. In our community.
It's in our community. And a lot of people don't know that because they wouldn't recognize the people coming out of a house. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't recognize what's going on. But there, matter of fact, we rescued a girl not long ago and placed her in a facility in Alabama because our facility is not quite ready yet. Mm-hmm. And she was actually working, use that term for younger ears that might be listening, but that she was actually working out of a home here in Lee County area, mm-hmm. and there were multiple girls there. And so when she came to us, attention came, and of course they scattered. When the light comes on, cockroaches scatter, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what happened. And so they moved on, but all they've done is moved to another place, mm-hmm. and we know that, but they're still operating. And so because of that, we came across all this information, and what the way it transpired was I was dealing with a lot of our girls in counseling session that were coming through drug addiction and alcohol addiction. And we're trying to deal with the why a person uses. There's mm-hmm. basic three reasons why we use. One's what we all know is the party scene in college. People usually get involved with drugs and alcohol, or maybe in high school they begin to attend parties. And as their party experience, it gives them drug addiction and alcohol addiction and things like that. But then there's some that are dealing with pain, mm-hmm. and they're trying to manage pain, and that leads to stronger drugs to once they get used to that numbing. But then there's the primary use of drugs is that life experiences are so hard and so difficult, mm-hmm. that they want to numb themselves. So mm-hmm. they don't have to think about it. They don't have to feel that pain. They don't have to think about the emotional mm-hmm. distraught event that took place in their life.
Let me stop you for one quick minute, Pastor David. Okay, now part of you're speaking of one of the outreaches of Anchor Church is specifically an outreach you have as it relates to the problem of sex trafficking. However, that's one of like Transformation Ranch is kind of a rehab ministry
right.
for men. Transformation Women is a kind of a rehab for women.
Right.
But at the same time, in addition to that, you have an outreach that's specifically trying to aggressively address the problem of sex trafficking as well.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
And what we've done, because of the young ladies that we were coming in contact with at the home, the Transformation Home, we were recognizing that their reason for numbing themselves is because of sex abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them.
Sex abuse they had experienced.
As a child, growing up, as a teenager, or as even a child.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they want to numb themselves from those feelings and the memories. So they turn to drugs to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start addressing that and they start sharing that testimony and they begin to speak to us and testify to us about that, we recognize, man, this is something that's rampant in our area. This mm-hmm. is really happening. And so one of the girls was sharing with me that she was handcuffed to a bed mm-hmm. and that she was left for several weeks. And man after man came into her and mm-hmm. she cried there, laying there. For mm-hmm. somebody to come help her.
Mm-hmm.
I held it together for that moment to minister to her, prayed with her, but then I got alone and just cried out, God, forgive us. That while these girls are out there crying for help, we're just attending church.
Mm-hmm.
Because what the Holy Spirit said to me, David, what were you doing when she was crying for help? Well, I was attending church.
Mm-hmm.
I was a good basketball coach that loved his kids, that was ministering to his kids, seeing kids saved. And I was attending church. I was a deacon. I was a Sunday school teacher.
Hmm.
And that was what brought me out of that. I said, man, we can't just go behind the church walls and stay. God intends for this light to be in the darkness so that it can illuminate and bring light and the salt that brings to the earth the savor of our Lord.
I said, pray for listeners to really hear what God is saying through your heart now, that all of us are supposed to be involved in ministry.
Absolutely.
All of us are called in giving the love and the grace and the healing and the mercy of God to the world, but it doesn't happen by itself, that we have to choose to get involved, and not passively, but aggressively. So would you pray for them
Absolutely.
To really hear what God is saying to them about
Absolutely.
Ministry?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, right now, there's so many people under sound of our voice that can make a difference. God, all we've been doing is just collecting light in a building, but God, that light is to be carried into the darkest places in our communities and in our society. Darkness is permeating all around us. There's no competition between light and darkness. All that has to happen is the light has to be carried into darkness and the darkness disappears. So God, right now, I pray for an awakening to take place in the church. That we would recognize that every one of us are called by you to minister. It's not about being comfortable.
Yes.
But it's about getting out of our comfort zone and into areas of obedience that you are calling us to and you are leading us to. So God, I pray that we would no longer be just emotionally stirred to the point that we cry and shed tears, but then we go back to our comfortable way of living. But we will be awakened to a call on our life to minister help, hope, and healing to the hurting people that are all around us. So God, right now, you awaken the church, the remnant inside the church, to do what you've called us to do. May we see as you see, may we feel as you feel, but most importantly, may we act on what you're calling us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. So as you learn more about the sex trafficking problem, which again is obviously in this community as well, well, let me ask you this question, Pastor David. If someone was to say, well, Pastor David, that's an interesting story, but this doesn't happen in our community. This is what happens in big cities. How would you respond to that?
The big cities have task forces that are addressing these issues, and they're chasing a lot of the perpetrators out of the city, and they're moving into the rural areas. And it's the same principle of drug abuse. So if you think that only people use drugs in cities, that's that same philosophy and way of thinking. That's ludicrous. We know that drugs are in every community, in every society, in the United States and abroad. Well, sex trafficking is the same way. America is the largest perpetrator. Right now, for all of American men and women no longer use pornography, no longer use the internet, and no longer requested sex in that manner, it would do the sex industry in. America drives the sex industry. American men that are sitting in church every Sunday are driving the sex industry. And because of that, there's a desperate need that's arising. There's 650,000 victims of sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. It's 1 to 2 boys and girls. The number one requested age is 14 years of age. A 14-year-old girl will make their handler, we'd use the term pimp, but they would make their handler $40,000 a year. Do the math. You just have 3 or 4 girls. This is why these individuals are fighting so hard to hold on to this industry, and because it's a lucrative business for them. But they are recruiting our girls and our guys out of schools and using the internet to do it. And it's very important for us to be diligent about seeking ways that we can not only provide help. I said 650,000 victims right now that we have. There's only 600 beds in America right now. That's why we're partnering with 8 Days of Hope, and we're going to be building a facility that will house 20 girls that will come out of that industry and provide them a safe place to heal.
Now, you said 600 beds. Define what you mean.
600 beds are places where people can have a safe place to heal. And
out of the sex specifically,
what we've done is we've provided a safe place for people to heal from their drug and alcohol addiction with the ranch and with the home. And now we realize that they need a safe place to heal. Mm-hmm. And the Transformation Garden is going to be that safe place for them to heal, for them to experience the unconditional love of the Heavenly Father.
Tell our listeners again, Pastor David, if someone's listening and they're thinking to themselves, well, number one, they didn't know a lot of what you're talking about. But number two, they're thinking, well, I'd like to get in touch with the Anchor Church and their ministries to learn more, or I want to get in touch with them to support them financially, or I want to get in touch with them just to connect with them, to connect with a church that's getting down into the dirt and helping people. How can they get in touch?
Well, if they want to volunteer, we've got an online application that they can fill out if they just go to any one of our sites.
Okay.
And they can connect from there, the Transformation Ranch, the Transformation Garden.
Share the websites again.
Yeah, the TransformationRanch.net, TransformationGarden.net, and the TransformationWomen.net. Mm-hmm. All of those are our websites. Any one of those, you can fill out an online application. And also, you can contact us through our phone number at Grace and Mercy Ministries, which is also the Anchor Church, and that is 662-732-5056. We need help. I mean, we're talking about each individual girl that's going to be coming out. We're going to have everyday ministries and ministering to them. We need people to mentor them, to spend time with them. It costs about $1,000 per girl. So you look at the budget on this, it's going to be $20,000 a month. To finance this ministry. We got several great businesses that are and churches that have agreed to sponsor a girl. But this is something that is a task that is monumental. And I think the church has got to get over. One of the reasons, one pastor told me, the reason why we're not more purposely evangelical is because baby Christians have dirty diapers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're spiritual grandparents. We like playing with the kids, but we want to send them home to their parents to change the diapers. You know, I've already done my time, right? Mm-hmm. I love the fact that my kids are old enough I don't have to change any more diapers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think spiritually speaking, we don't like dirty diapers. We don't like baby Christians. It's dirty. It's messy.
Mm-hmm.
And discipleship is a messy business because babies make mistakes learning to walk. And they make a lot of messes when they're learning to spiritually walk as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need a lot of people that have the patience and time to minister to these girls and these guys that are coming out of a very devastating life.
Mm. Well, Pastor David, you've said a lot about what your church is doing, and it sounds a lot to me like your church is not a very average church.
No, it's not.
It sounds like you're doing a lot more in the way of outreach and ministry than your average congregation. And so
sure.
I want to pick up there on the other side to talk more about that. Our in-studio guest is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
Abraham has a little baby, born in a stable late one night. The thief has got so starry eyes. The star made a night to shine like the day, and the shepherds came to bring him praise. Wise men brought him beautiful gifts. They brought gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Why did they call that little bitty baby?
King Jesus is his name.
Well, what did the heavenly host proclaim?
King Jesus is his name.
Well, tell me who would have thought this tiny lad would hold all power in his hands. Tell me, what did they call him? Well, the people came from all around. They knelt in
the music of Larnell Harris, King Jesus is His Name. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball. He's the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi, here in the Lee County community in Northeast Mississippi. Pastor David, once again, if listeners are persons that are listening are thinking to themselves, my church doesn't do any of those things, or my church doesn't do much in the way of outreach like that, I'd really like to help them get more involved. How would you respond to that person?
Well, I firmly believe that we got involved in these issues because somebody's heart got broken. Now, it happened to be me, the pastor, mm-hmm. whose heart was broken over these issues. I lost two very dear people. A lot of people know the story of Angie and Frank Camp. Mm-hmm. And with Frank, the loss of Frank Camp, it broke my heart to the point that, you know, we were dear friends. And then their son, Bryant, fell into addiction after we started our ministry. Mm-hmm. And he lost his legs running from the police in a car accident, and then got into drugs. And he came to the Transformation Ranch, mm-hmm. spent time there. He eventually left, and when he left, he fell back into some drugs, and he ended up overdosing as well. My heart was broken to the point that I couldn't sit back anymore, and we had to get involved. I believe that when people are seeing issues and hearing stories like this, their heart gets stirred, but then they can't sit there anymore. They got to do something. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's a remnant inside of every single church that wants to minister. I realize that if I showed up at the average church with 20 men that are tattooed and pierced and have a criminal record, and walked them into the church and set them on the front row, and I brought 10 girls that have not learned how to dress for church yet, maybe, and we all begin to go to church at a traditional church, we would have issues. And the average church would have issues with that. Okay, there would be problems. All right,
to say the least,
that there would be people. And for us, when we started doing these ministries, people weren't comfortable. People left. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to be in a church with a bunch of convicts. Mm-hmm. And that was the word somebody told me. And I'm like, man, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of churches in our community that probably don't have any convicts in it. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, welcome to go attend there. But I believe one of the things that God is leading us to is being in ministry is a very important thing that needs to take place. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is getting involved, mm-hmm. somehow, some way. There's something that breaks the heart of people. Mm-hmm. There's something that breaks the heart of people. And whatever that is that breaks the heart of people needs to lead those people into action. Mm-hmm. It's not just about being brokenhearted and compassionate, mm-hmm. but it's becoming passionate about it and getting involved and beginning to do something, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, I really can't say. I'd love to work with anybody in any church to help them get started, but in every community there's a problem, mm-hmm. and the churches need to step in and begin to address those problems. What mm-hmm. in every community there's a problem, but the church needs to get involved with that. Mm-hmm. And I believe a lot of times, and don't get me wrong, and the Tupelo area and Lee County area, there's some incredible churches mm-hmm. that are doing some incredible things for the Lord. And the remnant of these churches are coming together mm-hmm. and pooling resources and getting involved. And I believe that's the key. Mm-hmm. And I can share with any church how we got involved, any church leadership team, how we got involved, mm-hmm. And how they can begin to be involved. But it starts with where we started our day, where you hear the voice of God and you obey the voice of God. And there's going to be a monumental step of faith that needs to take place. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be uncomfortable. You know, you plant a church like we did, mm-hmm. and you build it around ministries to hurting people. It's tough, man, and a lot of people mm-hmm. don't understand and don't get it. But here we are. March is when we started in the present building. We've baptized over 100 since March, and we've in our church existence in 8 years, we've had over 400 baptisms. Mm-hmm. God is doing incredible things.
Share with our listeners again, if someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about your work.
The number of the church there is 662-732-5056. And also the websites, transformationranch.net, transformationgarden.net, transformationwomen.net. Mm-hmm. All of those have, you know, you can fill out an application. You can contact us there as well so that you can learn more how you can get involved. These ministries are, like I said, 650,000 victims of sex trafficking. There's only 600 beds. Mm-hmm. So there's a desperate need nationwide for people to get involved with these issues and really begin to minister and just love on people unconditionally because they need it desperately.
You know, Pastor Ball, something that comes to my mind is, you know, of course, probably one of the best-known scriptures in all of God's Word is, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life," John 3:16. And, of course, that one verse kind of summarizes the story of Christ coming to the world, bringing salvation to us as well. And, you know, I think the whole story behind what we think of the traditional Christmas story powerfully illustrates what we're talking about. God the Father, who is God Almighty, El Shaddai, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came into the world, into the dirty, messed up, troubled world. He didn't decide, this is too dirty for me. This is too much trouble. It's too much darkness down here. He came down and was born in a barn, a dirty, smelly barn. It's like He came into the worst of circumstances and came right down here with us to both identify with us, to love us, and provide a way for us to be saved. And if Jesus Christ, our greatest role model, can do that, He calls us to get down and dirty when need be, and whatever ways we need to love people, to help pull them out of the darkness.
Absolutely. You know, that reminds me of Ephesians 5, mm-hmm. 1, where it tells us to be imitators of God. Mm-hmm. And then right after it says being imitators of God in verse 2, it says, and walk in love. Mm-hmm. As Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us, mm-hmm. offering in a sacrifice to God for mm-hmm. a sweet-smelling aroma. Mm-hmm. I believe when we begin to love this world and love the people in this world, it's an aroma in the nostrils of God when His people are loving people, not just the easy ones to love. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture teaches us about the preferred seating where we bring people in into our church and we usher them to the preferred seating, and the poor person, we put them in a balcony or we, you know, sit them outside the window and open the window for them. You know, I mean, I know we don't literally do that, mm-hmm. but the figurative message of that is there's some people that are welcome mm-hmm. and some people that are not welcome.
That's right.
And when we become like Christ, and when we're never more like Christ, when we love those that are difficult to love, wouldn't it be incredible if our nation changed through the love of the church for mm-hmm. the world and all the hurting people in it? If it was seen mm-hmm. by the communities, they watched us love people that are hard to love, difficult to love.
You know, Pastor Ball, again, just in line with what you just shared, I think a very important truth for all of us to grasp to is that love always gives. It always gives. And so for me to say I love somebody, but I'm doing absolutely nothing for them in the way of giving is not real. Real love gives, but also it doesn't just give. God's love gave sacrificially.
Amen.
You know, it's easy to give when it's convenient or when it's leftovers, but God calls us to give sacrificially. Jesus gave His life.
Amen.
And so we're called to, like you said, imitate Him, to give not just when it's convenient, but sacrificially give of ourselves to love a hurting world, a dying world that desperately needs both to hear the gospel and receive the love of Christ.
Absolutely. One of the what you're saying is so true, and it's my heartbeat. It's my very heartbeat, because I tell our church all the time, love is an action, not a word. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get to that point where we're acting, and not just in the church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Monday to Saturday. We've got to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we've got to minister the love of Jesus to a deeply hurting world. And so those actions, whatever it looks like for you, or you know, is different than maybe what it looks like for me. Mm-hmm. What it looks like for one church is different from another. But the one thing we know is God is calling us all to act and to be motivated.
Every one of us.
Every single one of us. Mm-hmm. We can take actions. They might be different. And I tell people all the time, they say, I don't know how to get plugged in. I don't know how to get started. Where's your heart at? Mm-hmm. What breaks your heart? One thing, money wasn't an issue. What would you be doing every day? And you know, and then people begin to, you see each one, the wheels start turning. Oh, I'd be doing this. Oh, I'd be doing this. I'd be doing this. Mm-hmm. But what you said is very, very important. Hearing the voice of God, obeying the voice of God, that step of faith. I can't tell you how the Anchor Church, we came to that point, and I had people telling me, David, you're going to break this church. We can't financially afford these ministries. This is not going to work, and mm-hmm. and a lot of opposition.
You can't break God.
Exactly true. And I said, well, one of two things is going to happen. We're going to go broke, and we'll close the door if you're right. Mm-hmm. If I'm right and God's really calling to this, he will provide mm-hmm. for what he calls. Whatever he calls us to do, he's going to provide for it. And so when we stepped out on faith, our finances exploded, and mm-hmm. God has been doing great things. And we're just a small church. You know, I mean, on any given Sunday, we're only having 400 to 500 people. Mm-hmm. And that's grown over just, you know, 8 years.
Our time is almost gone. I want you to pray once again for listeners to really hear what God, to really be wide open to what God is saying, because God is calling all of us to do something.
Yes.
Some of it might be getting behind, giving financially to your church, but for some people, they're supposed to start ministry or ministries right where they are in their own community that reach hurting people. Pray for them, would you?
Absolutely. Dear Father, right now, I know that there's people that are hearing your voice as you speak.
Jesus.
And God, right now I ask that you would draw each and every one of them to act, and whatever that might be. God, right now, just their heart has been stirred so many times. They've wept in church so many days. They've said, I want to do something so many times. But God, they've never made that phone call. They've never taken that step. They've never acted. Whatever that is, God, if it's driving to Tupelo and having lunch as we sit down and talk about the opportunities for them and their church and their own community, God, whatever it looks like, allow them to boldly take that first step and say, God, I'm here, and I'm not just going to hear, but I'm going to be obedient to your word. For you've called us not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers as well. So God, may the rhema of your word be planted in the heart of individuals, but may they plant it through the act of obedience as they step out to obey, so that that word might bear fruit. And God, we'll give you the praise. We will give you all the glory for the great things you have done and the great things you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor David, in the last few moments, how would you like for listeners to pray specifically for the Anchor Church, Transformation Ranch, Transformation Women, and all the ministries you've spoke of?
We desperately need the volunteers. And right now we're in the process of finding individuals that will plug in ministry with the garden. And that is a very delicate process, because the sensitive issues that these young ladies are dealing with, it's going to take a very special person to be plugged in there. So we need wisdom. Mm-hmm. We need God's will, mm-hmm. God's way, and God's timing. And so we desperately need prayer to find the people that are going to be involved in this ministry, not just the volunteers, but also those that are the professional workers that are going to be ministering to these girls. A resident director is one of the biggest issues that's going to live with the girls and mm-hmm. be in the home with them. And that's somebody, it's going to take a special, special person, special lady that will love on these girls and be there with them. So pray for that as well.
So praying for volunteers as well as people to pray, be a part of your intercessory ministry, praying
Absolutely.
For the work. But also, if someone wants to give financially to help your work, how can they do that?
Well, right now we're protecting the ministries by keeping them out of 501c3s, by going through the church. So you can give to any one of these ministries through the Anchor Church, and every dime will go to specifically that ministry. If it's the garden, the ranch, the home, whichever it is, you put it in the four line.
Okay, and once again, the phone number, the Anchor Church, 662-732-5056. Thank you, Pastor David, for being with us today.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it.
Hope every single listener will pray much for the ministry of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.